complicated. Well, I've grown to hate it.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch, along for the ride. And please welcome in our next guest, Max Tooley, former BYU linebacker, now seeking to live his dream in the NFL. Max, thank you for carving out some time on the Saturday morning for us.
Yeah, sure. Thank you guys for having me. Can you hear me all right?
We got you loud and clear. I want to start here. You were part of the first ever Big 12 Pro Day down in Frisco, Texas. 137 other athletes alongside you working out down there at the Stars, they call it. Give me your sense of how that event went.
Yeah, you know, the Pro Day itself was a really cool event, something obviously new and unique to the rest of college football. So, obviously, in that sense, it was a little bit of a learning experiment, and they did a great job, just making things run smoothly, kind of making it feel a little bit more like the combine, and getting some more extracurricular activities, some more panels, guest speakers, different interviews, meetings, and stuff. So yeah, I think it went pretty well. Good success for their first one. It'll be interesting to see if they keep it going. So.
Max, not only were you a part of that first pro day for the Big 12, but you were part of the first crew of Cougars to make that jump to the Big 12. You know, what did that process look like, feel like for you guys now that you've had time to kind of sit back and compare, independence to that first year in the Big 12?
Yeah, this year was a big year of firsts in that way, especially for me being in an independent schedule for the last 5 years. That was a big reason why I decided to come back to BYU for this sixth year, for this first year in the Big 12. And yeah, it was a historic year. Obviously, not the outcome we wanted in a lot of our games, but nonetheless, it was a great experience. It was awesome to play against that kind of competition. Just to get a good feel of what it's like to be in a conference. For my last year, so. Can't really complain. It went well.
Well, and that's the thing. You and I, we talked often throughout your time as an independent, and it was just kind of a different feel, I think, going into a conference when you were competing for a conference title. But what was, in your mind, the biggest change going from being an FBS independent, BYU was for 12, 13 years, to being a member of the Power 5 in the Big 12 Conference?
Being an independent school and having an independent schedule, you're always going to have a couple games out of the year that are going to be real big tests. And then obviously you're going to have a couple games here and there where the competition is, not quite the same as the game before or whatnot. So I feel like this year that was probably the biggest thing, is just knowing each week you're going to play against another Power 5 opponent with a really good, complete team. So I feel like definitely that was probably the biggest part, just noticing how it wore on me physically, playing against great teams week in and week out, playing against good running backs, great offensive lines. Not to say that in years past we weren't playing, the best of the best, but, it was definitely an upgrade in terms of competition week in and week out. And, it was a good test to see what kind of where I compare in terms of a Power 5 aspect, perspective. Just kind of be able to play against those guys and compare myself to them. So.
Looking back on all the games that you played, which one was the most fun to you, or which one stood out the most to you in that Big 12 schedule last year?
In the Big 12 schedule, it was tough. Like obviously those first couple wins were great. Cincinnati, Texas Tech, those home wins were great wins. But then, yeah, I think everyone was kind of getting used to the flow of the season the whole way through. And then, obviously, those last couple of games, Oklahoma and then Oklahoma State, I felt like probably our most complete, maybe defensively, were definitely the most complete and kind of the most in rhythm games for us, where we had that the first couple of games, most of the games ahead of us to get into the rhythm, get into the swing of things, to be able to mesh as a defense. So I feel like those last couple games were really, really when we were able to show what we were able to do as a complete defense and team.
Now, you talk about the fact that it took some time to get on the same page. Jay Hill obviously was in his first year as BYU's defensive coordinator last year. Give me a sense, because I've heard and listened and talked to Jay for a decade now. When he did it at Weber State, speaks for itself, but I think he is on the right track at BYU as well. Give me your sense for how you felt he came in and what he did for this BYU defense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jay was a great hire this last year, and everyone knows that. It was evident by the way we played just overall as a defense the whole year. But, yeah, coming in, you know, especially like me and some of the other guys, we had some surgeries and weren't able to participate a lot in spring ball. So I feel like Jay coming in and just kind of establishing his presence as a leader and a coach and someone that cares about us, as well as, you know, teaching us the defense, getting us involved. But yeah, ultimately he did a great job with what he was given, and short notice coming in his first year. I feel like we definitely took strides forward as a defense. But yeah, like, kind of like what I was saying, I just feel like, yeah, there was a couple of us who coming back from injuries, me and Ben, coming back from shoulder surgery. So certain things in the year, not being able to do spring ball probably set us back a little bit more than we should have. But you know, Jay did everything in his power to get us right. Get us prepared, get us knowing the defense. So yeah, ultimately, so like as a defense, we did pretty great all year. So,
as someone who went through that process, learning a new defense under a new defensive coordinator, making that jump to the Big 12, what are some things that you would like to see from BYU this year as they head into season two?
Yeah, you know, learning the defense, obviously that first year is always going to be a little rough. So I feel like just having that second year in the program, as well as Jay being able to, you know, really kind of understand more how the Big 12 operates and the offenses we're going to play against. I feel like that will all go into account of just helping the defense get better. So I feel like just the experience alone, having that coaching experience in those games where, you know, maybe there's some tougher situations down the road, down the final stretches of games, where I feel like experience alone will help the defense as a whole. But obviously, yeah, you're always going to have new guys in this age of college football, but I feel like Jay's done a good job at bringing in some guys that already know the defense, you know, some really great Weber talent. So I feel like bringing that a couple guys on the defense that already know the scheme and know how things operate, know how Jay operates will really help just kind of the overall smoothness of the defense and it coming together.
Now, Max, you were a guy who, this is kind of an interesting thing to talk to you about. You started your college career without NIL and the transfer portal, but that all kind of came into effect while you were a student athlete at BYU. Give me kind of your overall sense. How do you think that's affected the sport? Is it a net negative, net positive? Where do you stand on all of it?
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. Obviously, my perspective is a little bit different. Just being in a program like BYU, independent program, not with the Power Five resources since 2018. So I've kind of seen both sides of the way things work. So I feel like my perspective is a little skewed in that, you know, I kind of wanted to stick true with my original commitment. I'd always been a BYU fan. And it's always been my dream. So, you know, the NIL money, the transfer portal and all that wasn't the biggest temptation for me. Whereas I feel like guys that came in a couple years later and, you know, there are a lot of guys, it's pretty common these days for a guy to come into a school and then transfer after his first year. So I feel like just with the culture of college football kind of shifting, you know, you're going to see a lot more of that, a lot more guys transferring, using the portal. I feel like, yeah, kind of just being an older guy, being a, you know, kind of just having my roots, you know, just as a traditional BYU fan who wanted to play for the school, I feel like it never really brought too much temptation into my mind.
And you mentioned the fact that you were a BYU guy, and I've had that conversation with a few guys like yourself who said that BYU was more than just football for me. It just stands for more, I guess is probably the easiest way to say it. And that didn't necessarily maybe entice you, but do you feel like it's morphing more into an era where, as you mentioned, more and more guys are coming into a university, maybe fill things out year one and then say, maybe this isn't for me, and they jump back into the portal and find something else. Do you feel like that's where it's going towards?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we've seen it in the last couple of years, you know, with the, you know, one-time transfer or however many times you're allowed to transfer. I don't even know.
You can transfer however many times you want now. Yeah.
Really? So exactly. You're going to see it a lot more. And I feel like even towards the end of my, you know, my last couple of years at BYU, you were seeing some of those guys that, you know, were kind of those quote unquote BYU guys that were kind of losing the sight of things and transferring. But, you know, everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own, you know, choices to make. So you can't knock on anybody else's choices, but just focus on your own. So
Max, I want to jump back to the NFL side of things for you. We obviously asked you how Pro Day went at the Big 12. But how has that overall process been for you? And what have you been doing to prepare and get ready as the draft inches closer? I think we're like 2 weeks out, three weeks out.
Yeah, no, this has been, you know, I've always kind of known this stage, you know, this January to March or March and April is going to be a big crucial process to me, step in the process rather. I've been training over at Stroh Foreman's in Pleasant Grove with a couple of other buddies from BYU, Jackson Cravens, Camden Garrett, and, you know, Dave Shershine does a really great job with us, getting us right. He's put a lot of guys into the NFL. He's had a lot of success getting guys right, getting guys bigger, stronger, faster. So ultimately, that's been the goal the first couple months of this year, is just to improve my times in the pro day, you know, post the best scores that I can, to give me the best chance that I can, you know, to make it in the league. Which obviously with my given situation, there's a lot of knocks against me. I'm getting older, so I knew that this pro day testing was going to be crucial for me. So I feel like I did everything that I could, trusted the process, stuck to the training regimen, and, you know, just let the results speak for themselves.
All right, so I'm looking at your numbers from Big 12 Pro Day, Max. 4.58 40. So the speed you showed on the field translated over. Also seeing a vertical jump of 34.5 inches, a broad jump of 10 feet 2 inches. I would say you put on a pretty good performance, just athlete wise. How would you evaluate it?
Yeah, you know, I've always kind of seen myself as, you know, an explosive athlete, fast twitch kind of guy. So I always knew that, you know, the 40 test is going to be a big one for me. Obviously, I wanted to run a little faster. You always want to run a little faster than whatever the time says. But,
yeah.
You know, times are all different. Every scout has their different times. So it's kind of, it's subjective, I feel like, in a lot of ways. Who knows what the actual official time is. So I just did what I had to do. And whatever results they say, you know, that's what it is. But yeah, vertical, broad, those are always been a point of emphasis in my training. I've known I had some good hops, I guess you could say. I wanted to get a little higher on the vert. 34.5 was lower for what I wanted to get. I know I could have got more, but, you know, feel good about the broad though. You know, 10.2 is a good time for me, or a good distance rather for me. So can't complain too much.
How many teams have you met with so far? And I assume they had opportunities for you guys down there to meet with teams, right?
Yeah, you know, I've had a couple chats just with some position coaches, some scouts, kind of just randomly. You never really know. This period is kind of hectic in that way.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to expect a call. So, you know, I could be laying in bed, you know, getting ready for early night sleep and getting a call. So I've had a chance to chat with a couple teams. Obviously, at the pro day, there was a good kind of couple-hour session where we were able to meet with the teams that wanted to talk with us. So I got to talk to couple teams at that time as well. So, yeah, just kind of letting my agent for the most part take care of everything. He's done a really good job. Evan Brennan, from UA Sports Agency. He's done a really good job in just, you know, putting me out there, selling me, putting in the work to, you know, get that exposure that you kind of need to have in a prospect like me. So
I think one of the cooler things that's come out in the past year or two is just the amount of talent that the state of Utah as a whole, whether it's high schoolers, whether it's guys going to any of the in-state colleges, puts into the NFL. It's per capita one of the top places to go if you want to go to the NFL. Does that give you confidence? And what do you think about that stat line?
Yeah, you know, I've I've followed along. Obviously, I'm really close with Puka, and, you know, Brady Christensen, to name a couple of these guys that have really had some good success in the short time they've been in the NFL. But yeah, I've always had pride in being from Utah. I know sometimes we're underlooked as athletes, but I feel like, you know, more and more guys like Puka, like Brady, like the other guys coming out of Utah, paving the way, proving that, you know, we have what it takes to make it in the NFL. I think it does give me a little bit of confidence. You know, seeing Puka being a fifth rounder and doing the things that he did, it kind of shows, yeah, you know, why don't teams should take more chances on some old NFL guy or old BYU guys rather, you know, why not? They could turn out really well for you. So, you know, I kind of just try to learn from those guys, have as many conversations with them as I can. Just trust in the process going forward.
Well, here's the thing, Max. You can point now, I think most guys with those extra COVID years, a lot of these guys, and talk across the sport, you're not necessarily as old as BYU players, quote unquote, used to be. Mm-hmm. So you can still find yourself a role. Yeah. But I also wanted to ask you, just in terms of the feedback you're hearing from teams, are they projecting you at outside linebacker, inside linebacker? Where are you being projected at the next level?
You know, it kind of varies between teams. I feel like most teams kind of see me as an inside backer. You know, kind of similar to the stuff I was doing this year, playing that weak side, rover backer. You know, I weighed in at like 229 at the pro day, and that's what a lot of teams wanted to see me at. So kind of being less undersized than usual has helped a lot. And just kind of placing me in schemes, being a quicker sideline to sideline guy on the inside is really crucial and valuable to them, to the NFL these days. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where, you know, teams see me, but yeah, I feel like for the most part, it's mostly inside.
So I want to know, you get that call. So someone wants you, they're picking you up. What are you doing to celebrate?
That's a good question. You know, I'll probably, you know, give my wife, give my parents a hug, you know, give love to the people that, you know, have sacrificed to get me to the point I'm at, have helped me, you know, reach my goals. So ultimately it'll be a moment with family. But yeah, we'll take that moment when it comes, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll celebrate, once that happens, I guess.
All right. So Max, you had some pretty incredible hair while you were at BYU, but I've got to say, I'm showing this to Michelle literally as we're on air. You are rocking quite the mullet. Is that still around right now?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, so what's the is the feedback from the missus? That's who it really matters. Is the missus okay with this?
She's okay with it. You know, I even had it for our wedding last July, so I have it a little bit more trimmed. I've been letting it go as the season's gone on. That's kind of how I've always gone throughout my years. You know, start growing something in the back towards the beginning of the year, get to football season, have some flow out the helmet. You know, in years past, Kalani's kind of made me cut it halfway through the season, so I haven't really been able to let it reach its full potential. But yeah, going into the draft and combine preparation, pro day prep, kind of just let it go. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it sticks around. We'll see if the wife lets me keep it around. So,
well, okay, so I wanted to ask you, like, when Kalani comes to you, he's like, hey, Max, hair. Cut, like, how does he approach this? Like,
it's usually like around like week six, week seven, maybe week eight in the season, and there's probably a handful of guys in the team room that have, you know, questionable hair, questionable you know, dress and grooming standards. So he doesn't necessarily point anybody out specifically, but he says, you know this. Yeah, we need to get it. We need to get a haircut when you start looking like Brigham Young Cougars. So everyone kind of looks around at the guys who know they're on the border. And, you know, usually everyone comes back the next Monday with a little bit shorter hair or, you know, no hair at all. So
well,
at least that's how I've been the last 2 years or so.
Okay, because that's the thing. I think you know this. I have Connor Pay on my podcast weekly, and I'm not going to lie right now, Max. Connor's got a flow going right now, and he told me he's planning on keeping this thing through the entire year. He said that
I actually heard that about Connor.
the dress and grooming standards at BYU, they've revamped it a little bit where you don't necessarily have to have it above the collar and all this stuff. I'm just wondering if you're the last. Yeah, are you the last of like a dying breed, I guess, in a way that has to cut their hair mid-season?
Dude, it's looking like it, I guess. Yeah, from everything I've heard, they're kind of throwing away the honor code in that way. So a lot of guys are kind of, you know, getting rid of the Clippers, just letting things grow at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how many guys got some flow coming out of their helmet this fall.
Well, I guess we'll see. It made me chuckle when he told me he was planning on growing it out, because he had quite the flow going already. And I'm like, if you're going to go the rest of the year, man, it's going to be long and shaggy at that point. But hey, nonetheless,
I love to see it. That's crucial to a good football player, in my opinion.
No doubt. Last thing for me, feel good, look good, feel good, play good, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so last thing from me, Max, is just looking ahead to year two of the Big 12, what are you expecting from BYU this fall?
Yeah, you know what? Like I said earlier, I expect the defensively to, you know, be a lot more smooth. Probably going into the season a lot more prepared, just with more guys coming back, more leaders to help the younger guys learn the defense. I think, you know, in that aspect, we should be a lot better. And then, I mean, offensively, you never really know. I haven't been around practice too much, but I know we got some great transfers in. We got Gary, a couple other quarterbacks, and then, you know, just some great guys. So I have confidence that, you know, they're going to put it together. It's just that first year in the Big 12, there's obviously going to be some bumps in the road. So I think just everyone bounding together and just going into year two, they'll be good. They'll be good.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck moving forward with the NFL draft process, and we obviously will be tracking you in the lead-up to the draft later this month.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
And there you go. That is Max Tooley.
Loved it.
I'm telling you, that mullet is looking glorious right now.
You know what? If you got it, flaunt it.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel.
Like, Connor's going more towards, like, just the overall flow.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if they're not going to require, like, I'm like, that's going to be...
That's going to be glorious.
It's going to be quite the look
come
the end of the season. But hey, we'll see. But here's the thing with Max. I always love getting to know him. He's a really fun, gregarious guy. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is he's a local product. When you talked about him, he asked the question, like, a lot of these guys like to put on for the state of Utah, especially guys who are from here.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about Brady Christensen, who's a former Bountiful kid himself. Puka from Orem.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, they know what Utah is all about just in terms of the overall state, and they want to put on for the state as well.
And we love to see it. I love that our state is such an NFL rich place. Like, yeah. I said, whether it's bringing talent in and developing it at the college level, or whether it's guys that went to high school and either stayed in state or went someplace else, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's cool that we got it going on here.
Yeah, and that is the part about it. It makes it fun because. I did a little high school coverage. I know you do some of it as well. It's fun to see guys like Max where you tracked him in high school. Isaac Wilson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, all of us have watched him at Corner Canyon. We're going to watch him at Utah. And if he does have a pro career, whatever, it's being fun to watch the kind of the transformation over essentially of a decade.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Yeah, that's a decade worth of work to get to the NFL.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. We will come back on the other side. By the way, big thank you to Max. Also, big thank you to Evan Brennan. I know Evan well. Evan helped arrange this, and he's doing great work. By the way, Evan does a really good job with guys like Max, who may be fringe guys. He does a really good job. I don't know how he works his magic. He helps these guys get chances. And that's what you want out of an agent, like, to manufacture that opportunity to prove yourself. And we'll see what happens. All right, we will come back on the other side. We need to get into some more football talk on the NFL side of things, talk a little bit about the Utah Jazz, also RSL. We got a lot to cover still ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Just to fill my jar with sand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show. Hope you all are doing well on this Saturday morning. Wow. I have not seen Wade Phillips in a minute. I forgot he was still coaching in the UFL. I'm watching UFL football here in the studio.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, here's the thing. Michelle Bodkin, Jake Hatch, hope you guys are doing well.
Get the formality out of the way.
Now, you obviously coached in the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. Give me your sense. Spring football, I believe it is what it is. it's going to be shoulder programming for these networks. And I think that now they've merged the USFL and the XFL now into what they're calling the UFL, the United Football League. I think it's here for at least some amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your sense. Do you think can it be bigger than it is? I don't think it can be.
I don't know that it'll necessarily be bigger per se, but I think it'll get more established, if that makes sense. I do think that there's a need for it, and mm-hmm. I know that people are kind of excited about it. It's just an opportunity to, in some ways, train up guys that maybe, like some of those fringe guys that we sometimes talk about, maybe not quite NFL ready, maybe need another year or two. You can train them up. I think the ultimate goal probably for a spring league is to somehow eventually turn into like a G League or something along those lines that eventually feeds up into the NFL.
Kind of what the NFL originally had plans for with the World League and NFL Europe, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's probably the ultimate goal. You know, knock on wood that like I said, that the XFL and the USFL, now that they've merged, that they've kind of figured out the recipe. That's like always been the biggest thing. And I think too many people have jumped into it not understanding the undertaking. Like,
sure.
It takes a lot of money now to get something like that up off the ground. And I think those two units have figured it out. And the merging, I think, shows that it's going well. And like I said, hopefully they can just keep it up and keep establishing themselves. Because I do think, you know, there's a good use for it. And I think, you know, maybe someday a market like ours would be a great place for it, just because we do have such an influx of players that are really good. Maybe not all of them always make it to the NFL, but I think there would be support here to see some of your favorite players play for a certain amount of time. Obviously, that takes money, and it takes getting the word out way better than when we did have one. But I think it could work. So I would love to see it expand a little bit.
Don't expand too quickly, though.
No. You got to take it slow.
If you want to kill this thing, try and like expand it out to like 30 teams in like the next like 3 years.
No. This is obviously a slow process.
Sure.
But I think there is a place for it. I really do.
I agree with you, and I do think that the NFL is kind of looking at this, and it may never become a formal arrangement, mm-hmm. but they're seeing it as a training ground. Like, there's X, Y, like Kevontae Turpin for the Dallas Cowboys. He was their star returner this past year. Played in the spring leagues. Like, he worked his way up.
Well, and I mean, our team, the Stallions, when all that crumbled and collapsed, we had the most players taken back up to the NFL level. I think we had like 9 guys get the call up. Now, not all of them necessarily stuck around. In fact, the only one that's still doing anything is Mike Purcell up with the Denver Broncos. But I mean, you know, that's 9 guys that otherwise wouldn't have had the shot, the second shot or the third shot, whatever it kind of was. So I think there's some use for this. And even if guys don't get the call up, it's just another opportunity for them to make a little cash and do something that they love doing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It does allow them to continue to keep the dream alive. That's the thing about it is.
And I am talking about this, you know, I've really only touched on the player end of it as far as developmental, but it's also a great place to potentially develop talent elsewhere.
Sure.
Training staffs,
mm-hmm.
You know, front office people, coaches.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a very useful product. It's a great place for people to cut their teeth.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right. I enjoy watching it. It's not appointment viewing for me per se, but let's put it this way. If I got downtime on a Saturday or Sunday and I want to watch some football in the spring, it's nice to have that as a resource.
Totally.
Totally.
They're fun games.
Yeah.
They're fun games. They usually try out some different rules.
Oh, yes.
And the NFL sometimes ends up implementing those.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just a lot of fun things that go on with a well-run spring league, which is like the first one. So.
Good point. Very, very good point there. All right. A couple other notes on other sports fronts. Probably should say congratulations. We are going to say congratulations. Cahill Fennell, BYU assistant coach, hired yesterday as the new head coach at University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. Headed back to the Lone Star State, getting his first chance to run a program.
Always a big deal.
Yeah.
Always a big, like, it's always a big deal when you get that call up, when people feel like you're ready. Now it's time to show that you are. Obviously, it's sink or swim, but it's always huge when you get that opportunity to prove yourself. And it sounds like he's worked hard at it and he deserves to at least give it a try.
Well, and the other thing is that he, speaking of Cahill, he was BYU's defensive coordinator this year, and they had a real, I don't know how much you watched at BYU, Michelle, is that they would, in a game, they could shift between like four or five different defenses in game, and literally possession by possession. They would look to the bench, and they, Cahill would essentially motion like, this is what we're going to do, and they'd flip, like 1-3-1 zone, go into man, box and one, matchup zone. Like they would jump to, and it keyed a big defensive turnaround for this BYU squad. And so he's getting an opportunity. And by the way, a guy like Mark Pope's got to be thinking, this is awesome, because guess what? When you can show as a head coach you have upward mobility on your staff, guess what happens? A lot more people are interested in joining your staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of sucky on one hand because people will come to you to upgrade their staffs.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it also usually opens the door for you to get top-level talent mm-hmm. as well. So it sucks that you're constantly having to perhaps replace said talent and there's not the continuity there. But on the other hand, if you just continue to plug in high-end, top-end talent, then it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But and the thing about this, Cahill is going to be in a place, and you think of the state of Texas, we all know it's big. Michelle, did you know that, like, so Brownsville, I believe, is where UTRGV is located. It is, like, hours away from Houston. And people think Houston is way out of the way in some respects, just in terms of, but you are down in the, like, the lower part of, you're in the, it's crazy how far south you have to go to UTRGV. I was talking to a buddy of mine who has ties to the city of Houston. I was like, hey, he thinks he's going close to Houston. He's not even close to that. It's really on its own. And UTRGV has been playing in the WAC. They're going to join the Southland Conference, okay. It sounds like. They're starting a football program, I think next year, I believe, will be there. So 2025, the fall of 2025 will be their first year as a football program at the FCS level. And I remember reading about this. And like they, in the state of Texas, you think it's like a lot of programs kind of overlapping on one another. This may be the one that is still kind of out on its own in the state of Texas, just because it's so far south.
I was gonna say I've never heard of them, so that right. But Texas always seems to produce schools. I'm like, wow, never heard of you until this very moment. Yeah. Interesting.
And see, Brownsville, Texas is literally on the border. It, like Matamoros, I believe, is the city that's right. So Michelle, that is where. So you see Brownsville right there.
Oh my, yeah.
San Antonio's there. Houston is there.
Okay. Yeah.
You are.
Basically in Mexico.
Monterrey is almost on the same latitude as it is way down there. But guess what? That also gives you the chance. Corpus Christi's up the road and whatnot. You have a portion of Texas here that I'm sure gets recruited by these schools. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You get to be kind of be. And basketball is one thing, football is another. It's just, it's kind of interesting to see him getting this chance at UT Rio Grande Valley. They weren't very good this past year, 6-25, if I recall correctly, overall. It's a big opportunity all the same, though.
Totally. Totally. Like I said, do or die.
Yeah. It really
do
is.
Or die.
But it is, I remember looking at like where Brownsville and like UTRGV, I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, the state of Texas is big. Let's be real.
Oh, it's monstrous.
Like there is, I don't know if you've heard this before. You probably have. If you drive from the eastern edge of Texas to El Paso, which is on the western edge, it takes longer to drive that than it is to go from El Paso to Los Angeles.
That's dumb. That's so dumb, but I mean, I absolutely believe that because Texas is stupidly big. It could probably be split into three states, to be honest. That's Texas.
Yeah, there's your geography lesson for the day, kids. All right. One other thing, RSL in action tonight, going for three straight wins. Michelle, last week I got a hat trick from Chicho Arango. Really fun to be out at America First Field. They fell behind once again, 1-0 early on, 3 minutes in. St. Louis scores. You're like, all right.
Oh, boy.
What are y'all doing here? But Chicho and RSL turned it on. He gets the hat trick. And It feels like RSL is in a pretty decent spot right now. They've got a star player in Chicho. He is as good as anybody RSL's ever had, honestly, at the striker position. And let's just put it this way. I was told that a new player that came into the squad this past year saw Chicho in practice, in training as they call it, practice, and said, man, that dude's really good. they probably assume they'd heard, yeah, like he's the highest paid player on the earth. Okay, the reputation comes, yeah, with it, but apparently he is just like he is as good in practice in terms of like leading the guys and everything and just doing his thing as he is in games, and that's why he's the captain. That's why he's being given the captain's armband. In action tonight, they head to Minnesota tonight to take on Minnesota United. A 5:30 pregame here on the KSL Sports Zone will be part of that, and also 6:30 start on Apple TV. And we'll see if RSL can make it 3 straight wins. Be a big start to the season if they can pull it off. Here's the thing about Minnesota is Adrian Heath, the old cantankerous you-know-what from England, is no longer their head coach. And I've finally reached an age, and you're in a similar circumstance to you, Michelle, where, yeah, head coaches of certain teams are now younger than us.
Yes.
Minnesota's, yes, head coach for their soccer team is 32 years old. And I'm over there like,
yeah, I've got about 3 years on him. Cool.
Well, I remember when Will Hardy was hired.
I know. Yeah.
I'm a year older than Will, and I'm like, what? He's the head coach of an NBA team? No. No, 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 no,
I'm
no.
I'm too young to be, yeah, the head coach of an NBA team. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I just picked a different line of work, apparently. But
I know, yeah.
It's kind of funny how things work out like that. But yeah, RSL tonight, 5:30 pregame, once again, 6:30 start. The Utah Royals are on an international break. It's the She Believes Cup, I believe, this weekend for the U.S. Women's National Team. They are in the semifinals of that. I believe that is tonight or tomorrow. But yeah, the Royals will be back next Friday as they resume regular season action.
Well.
So there you go.
All the soccer news you need.
I know. We try and cover it all. All right. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get some final thoughts on today's edition of the Saturday Show that's coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back. Do we ever play their most famous song, Sarah?
No.
The band Perry?
I wanted to go with the other songs.
Play the hits. Come on. That's all right. No. I have learned a lot about the band Perry today. I will say that. Because honestly, I only knew their one song. As bad as that is to say. I feel like I'm a fairly well-rounded music appreciator, but that's one I just had not ever really been into is the band Perry.
You know, and I'm just not a country person, so I don't even know.
This is David James over here. We're sitting here. We played Sam Hunt yesterday, and he just looking at me like, who?
Who's this?
No, PK's just grooving to it. It's funny.
Also, Sam Hunt's like borderline country.
He's pop. Very much, it's pop.
Okay. Yeah, the pop country.
Yeah, the pop country crossover. Yeah, it's very much kind of his style. He like mixes in like freestyle rap type stuff.
Yeah,
he
like talks, but it's like
interesting.
Borderline, yeah. Anyways,
you know what?
You've probably heard one of his songs. He's all over everywhere in grocery stores and whatnot.
You know, I like a good fusion. I like a good fusion. I can appreciate mixing some styles.
Yeah, no doubt. So Michelle, we were talking off air about my nerddom.
He is a nerd. He really had to dig hard for this.
So we were talking about UTRGV, Utah Rio Grande Valley. Once again, congratulations to Kyle Fennell. He's going to, I think, do some really good things down there. But here's the thing. I watch a lot of college football, and a lot, beyond Utes, Cougars, Aggies, Wildcats, Thunderbirds.
He goes out of state as well, what he's saying.
So I was talking to Michelle, and all of a sudden it popped in my head. I'm like, you know what? UTRGV is going to be playing football. I know a kid from that's playing for a program in Texas who's from that area. UT San Antonio, obviously a relative newcomer to the Division I level, but has had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. Their starting quarterback for part of the year last year, I believe it was like, let's look this up. I think it was like 6 or 7 games last year due to some injuries, is a kid named Eddie Lee Marburger. He's from McAllen, Texas. So, I'm a nerd. I get it.
He is a nerd.
Redshirt junior, McAllen, Texas. I ended up becoming their all-time star down there in Texas. Let's see. Ended up passing for almost 10,000, over 10,000 yards in his high school career. So pretty incredible stuff. But 88 TDs passes. Like, hey, you know what you got to do? This goes to my nerddom as I just watch all this and oh my gosh.
Sorry, I'm enthralled with this.
I saw your face. I'm like, I got to see what happened here.
I was watching Troy Williams warm up and I was like, oh.
Oh, is he playing for the Memphis Showboats?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep, Troy Williams is in for the Memphis Showboats. Ah. Apparently their starting quarterback got hurt.
Case Cookus is his name. He's a former NAU star. So more to my nerddom. I know where he played college football. He played at Northern Arizona University. You're welcome, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. anyway, Memphis is actually up on San Antonio anyway, but good for Troy.
Hey, by the way, Troy, he is a really, really cool story. I will never be able to get over the whole untied shoe thing.
I know. That was a really illustrative of his character. And then I don't know if you heard... it's maybe been like 2 years now. Yeah, it's been about 2 years. He came back here and threw for Pro Day.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the process of that, though, he bought the Utah equipment staff pizza.
Oh, cool. Okay.
As an appreciation for getting all the stuff ready and stuff.
Sweet.
It floated around Twitter, but he's just that kind of guy. Like, he's just a nice guy. I actually, the last Pac-12 media day that I was in town in Los Angeles, he met up with me and we just chatted for a little bit. So he's a great story, great guy, like very easy to cheer for. So hopefully this goes well for him.
Now, did you see the local connection we had to the San Francisco Giants last night?
Oh, I did see.
So Fred Warner, former BYU linebacker, star for the San Francisco 49ers, he threw out the first pitch and then they had Mitch Wishnowsky have the first punt.
Yeah.
And he kicked it out of the stadium over into what's the McCovey Cove, whatever they call it, that apparently, I swear, every baseball I ever saw that Barry Bonds hit a home run went into that cove. But,
just crazy.
But they were there last night, so fun to see a former Ute and a former Cougar doing their thing. And it was kind of funny. And by the way, I would imagine you had to boot that thing pretty well to get that out of the stadium, but it looked like nothing.
He punted the baseball?
No, it's football. They had him call like the first punt. They had Fred throw the first pitch.
Okay.
But then
I was trying to figure that out because I was like, did they have him do a football or did they have him try and punt the baseball? Because the baseball would kind of hurt, I would
try,
think.
Try broken foot but he went over like into the outfield and like they call it like the first punt and Mitch just booted it. And I assume you have to boot that pretty well from the field level to get it out. But he did it.
Up and over,
up over into the cove. And the people out there on the kayaks went and got it.
He had a big foot when he was at Utah, so that's just not shocking in the slightest that he could pull that off.
Here's the thing. He's transformed himself. He's one of those former Australian rules punters. Very few of them have made a good transition to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Some have had opportunities. Like we're seeing Brad Wing here in the UFL. He had a couple of seasons, it felt like, in the NFL, but didn't pan out. Mitch, he's going to play in the NFL as long as he wants with that leg of his.
Yeah. Yeah. Impressive. Again, another, and even Fred Warner, both impressive stories out of the state of Utah, since we talked about how awesome Utah is in producing NFL talent.
Yeah, Fred, third round pick, now the best linebacker in the NFL. You know, no big deal on that side of things, making all kinds of money and recently welcomed his first kid into the world.
Aww.
So cool stuff on that front as well. All right, that's going to do it. Michelle, any final thoughts from you?
No, I think we about covered it all.
Okay. For Michelle and Sarah, I'm Jake. Thanks for tuning in to everybody. We will be back next week. Keep it here on The Zone all week long, though, for all the coverage. Masters coverage heavily next week as well, with the Masters underway down there in Augusta. So stay tuned for that right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.